contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and we invite you to visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. Our number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. We thank you, dear listener, for supporting us both prayerfully and financially. And when you write to us, it encourages us a great deal. So do please continue to write to us and tell us how Abounding Grace Radio is helping you. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we have the privilege of having Pastor Mike Brown again with us on Abounding Grace. He's the pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And we've had Mike on the program for many years on Abounding Grace. Sort of a sad day for Abounding Grace because Mike is doing something new. Something is happening in Mike's life and in his ministry. And Mike, why don't you tell us just a little bit? First, I'd like to say, in front of all listeners, thank you for being on the program all these years and contributing so much. We've studied a lot of stuff together. I've had a lot of fun with you on the radio, and we're going to miss you. But tell us a little bit about what you are going to go do right now. This is a really exciting development in your ministry and in your calling as a pastor.
Well, thanks, Chris. First, let me say how much fun it's been to talk with you. You and I have been friends since seminary, and it's been a blast being able to discuss the Word of God and some of the needs of the church today, and I hope it's been helpful for our listeners. Yeah, I'm being sent as a missionary to Italy, of all places, and want to talk a little bit, hopefully today, about the need in Italy and why Italy. Still a Reformed pastor in the United Reformed Churches of North America, but we've been involved in a mission work there for about 8 years now, and God has opened a lot of doors and made it possible for me, God willing, next year in June to head over to Milan and to plant a church there, work in a church that's already partly established, and to help establish a new confessional denomination, a Reformed denomination. There are no Reformed or Presbyterian denominations in the whole country of Italy, and so that's the mission.
Thanks for that. You know, I just want to say, I planned a vacation now to Italy quite a bit. Come see you.
Okay? Come see me, man. We can do radio from over there. It'd be fun.
So this is Mike's last program with us, and I thought today it would be helpful to talk a little bit, especially since it's Reformation 500. This is the 500-year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, and sad to say, many Christians in our land don't appreciate it or even know our history. If you are today an evangelical Christian and you're able to open the Bible and study the Bible and freely worship and have the gospel proclaimed to you, you are, in some sense, a debtor to the Protestant Reformation and may not even know that or appreciate that. So when Mike says, I'm being sent to plant a Reformed church, you might say, oh, well, what is a Reformed church? Why does that matter? I think it's helpful today, just before we get into what you're going to go do, Mike, this wonderful work you're being called to, tell us, why does the Reformation matter today? And what was the Protestant Reformation all about? So that's an important question for us today, living in the time we live, and maybe that'll help for the listeners to appreciate what you are going to go do.
Yeah, great question. You know, when we talk about the Protestant Reformation, what we're talking about is this huge movement in the 16th and going into the 17th century of getting back to God's Word. What it means to be reformed means that the church had become deformed throughout the Middle Ages in a number of ways, and Protestant reformers, people like Martin Luther, John Calvin, others, sought to reform the church, not create a new church, or they weren't revolutionaries, but rather were reformers, particularly around a few central issues. Number one, how are we right with God? for a long time. There was confusion in the Middle Ages about how a believer is made right with God. Is it through faith and works? Is it my works? Is it all by Christ? Is it by Christ through faith alone? There were divergent views, different views. And really, with the beginning of the Protestant Reformation, which we typically mark at October 31st, 1517, even though you know that's not the exact date of the whole Reformation, but we typically look at that date as something significant. That's why it's the 500th anniversary this year, because that's when Martin Luther had nailed 95 theses on a castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany, for dispute, saying, look, here's 95 things that we need to debate about the church today. There was so much corruption at the time. The papacy had become basically a kingdom, a little empire. But getting back to the doctrinal issues, how is a believer made right with God? That wasn't well defined. And what the reformers said was that they went to Scripture and said, look, Scripture teaches that we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So we're talking about the gospel here and the most important thing of the Christian faith. There was also the issue of authority. Who ultimately has authority? Is it the Pope? Is it the cardinals? Do they hold the Word of God, tell you what the Word of God is? Or is it actually Scripture itself? And so the battle cry was sola scriptura, that the Bible is actually authoritative. Then there was also the issue of worship. How do we worship? Is it to our glory? Is it filled with superstition and practices that are extra biblical? Or is it soli Deo Gloria? Is it to the glory of God alone? These were the real issues that were central to the Reformation. And certainly it's important today because it's easy for us to take our eyes off of that, off the gospel, off the authority of Scripture, and off the fact that worship is to be to the glory of God alone.
Right. That's really helpful. I mean, there was a little axiom at that time, after darkness, light.
Right.
Post tenebris lux. And there, the reformers were very excited and really believed they had recovered the gospel as revealed in the Scriptures, because over time, abuses and people, even the Pope, had darkened the truth that had been revealed to us in the Scriptures. And the Reformation gave us the Bible back.
That's right.
I mean, I don't think we appreciate every time we're able to go to the shelf and grab the Bible and open it, and you can get it any color you want today, any sort of version you want. It wasn't like that back then.
Put it into the common language.
Right.
That's a huge, huge significant thing that the Reformation gave us.
Right. When Luther, after he had been put on trial and he escaped and went back to Wittenberg, the one thing he did was translate the Scriptures into German, right, so that the people could read it. So we had some beautiful things happen. We had doctrine recovered. We have the Scriptures given back to us, and we learned how we're right with God. There's so much more to this. We could go on about the Reformation forever here, but I think it's helpful to think about. These are things that need to be recovered in our day. It's not like in 1517 and the events after that, we got it all back, and now we don't have the problem of taking light and entering back into a period of darkness.
That's right.
I mean, that's kind of where the church has come today, Mike, where I see people disinterested in the Scriptures. They don't even seem to be worried about whether they're right with God. And maybe that's because the church hasn't done a very good and faithful job of making known the importance of these things and teaching and preaching these things, right?
That's right. And the centrality of the person and work of Christ. That was really what the Reformation was all about, that the Christ and what he has accomplished for us is what reconciles us to God, which is what makes us right. It's the difference between the law and the gospel. The law tells us what we must do, and it reveals God's righteousness and exposes our sin, but it doesn't give us the power and the strength to go and live according to that law. It can't make us right with God. For that, we need a gospel. We need good news, and that is the message of what Christ has accomplished for us in his life, death, and resurrection. And understanding those two parts of Scripture, law and gospel, was largely what the Reformation was all about.
So I want to transition here in the time we have left, and let's talk a little bit about Reformation Italy. And, you know, I just have to say, yesterday, Mike brought a fellow pastor friend over to my house from Italy. He didn't even speak English. You know, he's speaking Italian. And, you know, we get to go and show him the church here at the Escondido URC. And he walks in and he looks, and the first thing he says is, wow, a church.
Right.
You know, this is so unique to him. We are so blessed in the United States have churches everywhere and a significant number of Reformed churches, right, Mike?
That's right.
We have a lot here, and we take for granted what we have, so that when people from other countries who are really cutting their teeth in Reformed theology, learning their history, learning their heritage, seeing what we have here, their eyes are just, I mean, they're in amazement.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, if we made a comparison between California and Italy, which actually geographically are about the same size in square mileage, but California has about 33 million people. Italy has over 60 million people. It's about double in population. California has over 200 churches in what we call the North American Presbyterian and Reformed Council. So a solid Presbyterian or Reformed church like the URC, OPC, PCA, a place where Christ is proclaimed, the sacraments are administered, there's faithful discipline by elders, not perfect churches, but faithful churches. There are over 200 of those in California with 33 million people. Italy, double the amount of people. There are only two, one in Milan that's very small, and one in Turin that's even smaller. And now we have a church plant in the middle of Italy in a city called Perugia. And Pastor Andrea Ferrari, who's been at Milan faithfully laboring for many years, he's going to be sent down to Perugia to shepherd that church plant. He was there all last summer, and they are very excited about having him. I'll be sent to Milan to pastor the church there and to reach out. And together, also with Pastor Forte, whom you met yesterday, Chris, working in Turin, our goal, our objective is, by the grace of God, to establish a confessional Reformed denomination, which doesn't exist in that country.
Now maybe just help the listener here a little bit. So they hear Reformed church and they say, well, okay, Reformed churches, generally, they aren't really big denominations of churches in our country. We have a whole plethora of evangelical churches, right? In Italy, is that the case too? What is the church landscape like in Italy? That give them a little bit of a picture in comparison to what you and I are used to. On every corner, there even could be a mega church, right?
Right. That's a great question. So in America, we're used to what we kind of live in an evangelical culture when it comes to Christianity. There's Baptist churches everywhere, evangelical churches everywhere. In Italy, it's a lot different. Over 60 million people, over 95% of those are Roman Catholic. Remember, Italy is the place of Rome. It's the place of the Vatican. And this is why the Reformation actually was squashed in 1542. There was the Roman Inquisition. Reform books were prohibited. They were burned. Your choices were recant and go become Roman Catholic again, leave the country, which some did, people like Peter Martyr Vermigli, or go underground and hide, which some did. Some of the monks were basically silent, even though they held to doctrines like justification by faith alone. So there is no Reformation there. But now we see this work beginning to happen, but it's very, very small because the country by culture is Roman Catholic. There are some charismatic churches. There's a few Pentecostal churches. There's a few Baptist churches sprinkled here and there, but there is no denomination of Presbyterian or Reformed churches as we would have here in North America.
So coming back just a minute, thinking a little bit then about this question, why we typically don't think of Italy when we think of the Reformation. So you're saying that, and I've done some study in this, but I think, since you're going there, I trust you spent a lot more time reflecting on this. The Reformation, how did it affect Italy to begin with? You're saying, I understand there was a lot of persecution, but are you saying that it never really got the foothold that it should have as it did in other countries?
Well, that's a great question. There was actually a Reformation that was very strong in the 1520s and 1530s and leading up to the early 1540s. And so remember, we think of 1517 when Luther nails the 95 Theses. Now there's debate, there's books being printed. Remember, the Gutenberg press allowed movable type to create books much more quickly in the mid 15th century. So the understanding of the gospel began to permeate universities, monasteries, all throughout Europe. But when we think of, for those who are familiar with the Reformation, we typically think of, Luther in Germany and Calvin in Switzerland and Thomas Cranmer in England. When you think of Italy, what do you think of? You think of the Pope, you think of the Vatican, you don't think of, you know, great reformers. There were great reformers, as I said, mentioned Peter Martyr Vermilion and others. There was a wonderful book called The Benefit of Christ that was published anonymously in 1543, a year after the Inquisition, and it sold over 40,000 copies in 1 year, spread all over Italy, was translated into 5 or 6 different languages, it spread all over Europe. It helped the common man understand the distinction between the law and the gospel. It's very much like the Heidelberg Catechism, which was published 20 years later. But what happened was Rome needed to hang on to Italy and Spain and France and a couple of other places, particularly Italy. And the Reformation was really squashed by the early 1540s. Then you had the Council of Trent,
right,
that came followed that, and they finally declared that the doctrine of justification by faith alone is heresy, according to the Roman Catholic Church. To say that I am right with God through Jesus Christ and that I receive his righteousness only through faith, it was declared false teaching, and people were killed for holding on to that doctrine.
Right.
So that's where we're at today.
So here in the States, we've had all this literature that we have translated and put into the hands of the people, and that's not being appreciated as much here anymore. But we're starting to see over in Italy and in Europe again a sort of resurgence of interest back in their history of the Reformation. And so what is the spiritual state then of the churches and what you're facing as you've been over to Italy and are going to this plant and doing this great work, Mike? What are you finding there? Is the same sort of darkness prevalent in that culture? And how necessary is what you're going to do?
Yeah, Italy is a very dark culture. You know, it's a beautiful place to visit. I'm sure that many of our listeners say, ooh, Italy, I love Italy, because
I want to go.
Yeah, if you ever visited, I mean, it's fantastic. You know, you think of places like Venice and Rome, you know, all the history, or you go to Florence and see all the Renaissance history, the art, the food, the people. There's a lot of great things about Italy. Let me say, Italy is a wonderful place to visit. But to live there as a Christian is very, very difficult. It's dark. It's oppressive. It's strange because it's a Catholic culture nominally, which means that, you know, many people have a vague understanding of God, and they might go to church for a wedding, maybe on Christmas and Easter. You know, very few in Italy are very committed, devoted Catholics. The majority of people are nominal and really pagan in their thinking and their worldview. But to be a Christian there really is countercultural, much, much more, I believe, than in America, where, you know, it's much easier to, for example, for a Christian to find a Christian man to find a Christian woman that he would like to marry, or vice versa. In Italy, it is much more difficult. It's a small, very dark place. When we think of mission fields, we often tend to think of the third world.
Right.
But the fact is, there's a lot of third world countries that are doing quite well spiritually, where the church has grown.
That's a great point, Mike.
Yeah, Europe is a wasteland. Europe is dark. It is post-Christian. Mm-hmm. It is hard soil. It is very, people tend to think they're Christian just because they have a vague understanding of, well, there's the Bible and there's a church over there. I can hear the bells. And this is the culture I grew up in. But people don't know the gospel. This is new news, right, for people.
And I fear that what we're hearing as it's post-Christian society there, that's our trajectory here in the future. But what a wonderful thing that you get to go and help over there, Mike. So how in the world did you get involved in this? How are you being sent over there? Why are you being sent as a missionary to Italy? How did all this happen? And tell us a little bit about that process.
So our church, Christ URC in Santee, California, got involved in helping a translation project back in 2006 with a guy named Andrea Ferrari, who is now a URC pastor. He's the pastor of Milan and soon will be sent to Perugia. Good friend of mine, and I met him through an Italian in our congregation who's a translator. And this man was Baptist at the time, but was becoming reformed in his thought and his theology, translating works, he and several others, that had never been in the Italian language. For example, they translated Calvin's commentary on Genesis. Never in 500 years had it ever been translated into Italian. They translated lots and lots of books. Well, we were a new church at the time, and we wanted causes to support. We thought this was worthy. We began to support that work financially. And over time, over the next several years, he started to become more reformed in his thought and asked for advice and help on how their church could become reformed. There were no reformed churches that confessed our confessions in Italy. There's a couple of Presbyterian missionaries, a couple of faithful guys over there that have very small works. But he was asking for help. How could his church really make this transition to become reformed? We helped him do that. Over time, since 2009, I've learned the Italian language proficiently enough to preach with the manuscript and to have phone conversations. So I make a ton of errors and I have a long way to go. But we've made several trips back and forth. We now oversee him as a missionary. And because we see this need and we see the gospel growing and we see there's a church plant now that's 4 or 5 hours away from Milan that needs a pastor, they need pastoral care, they need preaching, we believe it is best for the kingdom of God that Andrea Ferrari be sent there with our blessing to go and to plant a church, and that he's the man for that work. And I hope to be faithful and to pick up where he has left off and done a good work to continue the work from Milan, and then working also with Reverend Forte in Turin, the three of us and others. There's other men too in seminary from Italy that are being trained right now. We hope that in the future we can have a strong denomination there of churches that will be mutually accountable and will be able to uphold one another in fellowship.
So Mike, you know, I listen to all this. I mean, I think it's really exciting. You know, the Lord puts in pastors' hearts a real desire to want to see the gospel flourish. We think of where it went from in Acts, right? That whole program of salvation from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Well, God has fulfilled what he said he would do in the Great Commission. I think sometimes that Christians don't really understand or appreciate the Great Commission, or we're just so busy with life that we don't think enough about it and what it looks like as it materializes and develops. And I think this, what you're doing here is evidence that the Lord is still committed to Matthew 28, isn't it?
Right. And when we see how the apostles applied Matthew 28, what did they do? They didn't only do evangelism, as important as evangelism is. They planted churches, because Christ's great commission to his apostles was not go out and make converts, but go make disciples.
Right.
And you do so through the means of grace, through preaching the gospel regularly, not just once, but every week, administering the sacraments, baptizing, bringing the Lord's Supper, teaching everybody, helping them grow. And so a church is necessary for Christian growth, for our discipleship. Without planting churches, we can't fulfill the great commission.
So we have two ways. I'm thinking, Mike, you've been such a blessing to us on Abounding Grace Radio. I've really enjoyed having you here all these years, and you've been a longtime friend. I think some ways we can help you. Obviously, we should pray for you. We should pray that the Lord continues to open this door. This is how the Apostle Paul looked at ministry, as doors opening and doors closing, right? And when the Lord opens the door, we go through it.
That's right.
But we understand that it takes, the Lord works through his people to provide for these things to happen. That's always how the ministry has been done. So I guess the question I would ask you, if our listeners would like to partner with you in supporting this cause and mission, how can they do that? What would you say to the listeners of Abounding Grace to stay in contact with you and to know what's happening with Mission Italy? I think that's something you could help the listeners with and us today.
Well, first of all, I love your encouragement to pray, because without prayer, we can't do anything. And so I just want to beg everybody, please pray for Italy. Pray that God would do a great work there, would bring many converts, would many disciples would be made, not just in the next few years, but over the next several generations. We need to see the Lord do a work there that hasn't been done in hundreds of years. And then if you want updates, if you want more information about our mission, visit reformationitaly.org, reformationitaly.org. You can also go to the christurc.org if you want to find out more about the church that I'm part of and how we got involved with this work. But reformationitaly.org has all of that info. If you or your church is interested in partnering with us financially, information is there as well. And the deacons at Christ URC, we have also a committee. They help deal with all of those issues. And so if you want more information, you want updates, you want to see what's happening, that's the place to go, is that website, reformationitaly.org.
You know, we've got 1 minute left here. I may have an off the wall question, but it just came to my head. So why not ask? When the saints in Italy, when you're over there preaching and teaching and doing all this work, what do they think of us in the States? What do they think of the churches? What's their perception of the American church? I'm just curious.
Well, when I'm with them over in Milan and in Perugia and Turin, first of all, they are so grateful for any help that they can get at all. When I come and visit, they are so thankful that someone's there, and they have a real desire. It's a lot of sacrifice. It's difficult for them to plant churches, and they just feel so overwhelmed by our generosity in sending someone and fellowshipping with them that they want to be connected to us. When they come here and they see America, they're blown away at how much we have. Right. You don't realize how much you have until you go someplace else and see how little another place has. Mm. And in terms of Italy, yeah, it's got a lot of history, great food, lots of fabulous things in the culture, but spiritually, it is extremely dark. It is hard soil. It is a difficult place to live as a Christian, and we're praying that the gospel will do a great work there.
What a wonderful thought that one day, you know, from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and every people on the face of the earth, we will all have a giant reunion, right? In glory together, where we can't see these saints, but we know the Lord has his church everywhere, and we're thankful for what's taking place in Italy. So Mike, thanks again for being on the program with us these years on Abounding Grace Radio. We wish you the Lord's blessings as you move on, and may the Lord bless your work, and we'd love to hear more about it. Next time you're in the States, we'll have you back on. You can give us an update about how it's going. Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We're thankful you take time out of your day to tune into the program. Until next time, may the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.